Lord, we thank you for your word is truth. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word. And we thank you for St. James, who wrote this letter to the 12 tribes of the diaspora. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand the significance of his practical application of how we, as your children, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as people filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, should therefore live. And Lord, we thank you for the instructions that we had last week on works. And this week on words, we ask, Lord, that you would strengthen us through it and help us to live as your disciples. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember last week as we introduced the letter of St. James to the 12 tribes in the dispersion that had gone out from Jerusalem, and James, the brother of Jesus, is there in Jerusalem. He's the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and he writes to these 12 tribes. And in the first chapter, we mentioned the importance that he places on us doing the right things. I mentioned that Martin Luther was often accused of dissing St. James in his letter because of the fact that in it, he doesn't use the right words for the theologian that Martin Luther was. He doesn't use the cross. He doesn't use resurrection. Remember, I mentioned that last week. He doesn't use these words. And therefore, Martin Luther, in comparison to Paul's letters and in comparison to Luke's history of the church in Acts and the Gospels, he said it was like an epistle of straw. But if we understand that James is writing to Christians who are already justified, saved by grace through faith, and are now trying to live out that faith like we are as disciples, right? We're trying to live out our faith on the side of sanctification, on the side of being holy. We're already made holy by the blood of Christ. We're already children of God. We're trying to live this out. Then we can look at the letter and we can say, okay, James is being practical. He's being practical. He's saying these are the things that cause us to stumble. For example, last week he said, if you have faith but no works, your faith is meaningless. If you have works and no faith, those works are worth nothing, right? He's basically pointing out you need to have both. It's like you walk one foot and another, right? They go hand in hand. So today we're going to look at words. And it's really important to understand. Did I do this wrong again? There we go. We need to look at the introduction again of James. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'd like you to point out verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. I want to set that as a context, because if you're reading Jewish writing, you must understand something. When you read John's Gospels, when you read his letters, and James as well, and same with Jude, they're writing from a Jewish perspective. In a Jewish perspective, it's kind of like they start out with an overview of the whole thing. The ultimate introductory paragraph. But only in this case, it's like a whole chapter. So you know that when he's addressing these things in chapter 1 here, that he's going to delve into them deeper in his letter. So this is why he introduces it in verse 26 of chapter 1. But let's jump ahead to chapter 3 that we heard today, read so eloquently. And it tells us that if we're going to be leaders, and I think every one of us expects that God is going to call us into some area of leadership, right? We all believe that we're called. We all believe that God has created us with particular gifts to be used for his glory. And so if we're going to be called into leadership, in some ways he's telling us you shouldn't wish for it. And I can tell you from personal experience, don't wish for it. I always thought, you know, when I was growing up, my parents had it instilled in us that you respected people in authority. Of course, I'm old now. This has changed. I used to think it was a cultural change. I think it's a generational change. And I'm not trying to put down younger generation because I love you guys. But I think that our society as a whole has gone down the road of putting down and suspecting and distrusting people in authority. I can give you example after example over the last 10 years where I have said things. I have said thousands of things to people who have been struggling with things. And they will come out and they will start talking to people and they will talk about one word or two words that I said, totally out of context, of course, and cause trouble in the congregation, cause trouble in the community. I just pray that, you know, when I hear about it, I think, well, there's no use. I can't defend myself. I don't know if you realize it, but you're in a position of authority. You really can't defend yourself because anything you say looks like you're defending yourself, right? And looks like you're, you know, you can't win. So I just say, Lord, you deal with them because I can't. But I often think of this passage where he says, you know, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. I want to tell you right now, if you want to ever come in here and think Pastor Brian is a perfect man, you are sadly mistaken. The only one that's ever been perfect is who? Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. He is the only one. Now, that doesn't mean we don't strive for it. That doesn't mean we don't try. But he basically says here, and St. James is right, he says, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses, there I have a picture of a horse that has been struggling with the bit. Did you notice that? If you look at the picture, he's been struggling. This is not a horse that has been accepting the bridle, or the bit, I should say. He has not been accepting it very easily. And I thought of each one of us in that circumstance. How many of us have struggled with God? Struggled with the truth? Yeah. Struggle with sharing the truth in love with someone when you know that even if you say it and it's God's truth, when you say it to them because people don't want to be under accountability. The other thing about, you know, I mentioned that people aren't respecting of authority. The other thing, people do not want to be accountable. And accountability is tough. I'm under accountability. I'm under authority. We're all under authority in some way. But yet, how many of us are like that horse out there that just kind of chafe and we want to just do our own thing? You can see the struggle. And then he uses another example. He says, look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. And I put that little rudder in there because you can see that's not a big ship. That's a little boat. But still, it's amazing how much when you're under when you're in the wind and you're going, how much you rely on that rudder. It's extremely important. He goes on to say, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. I think that's really important that you understand this, and this is what I want to stress today, and I know we don't have much time, but I want to make this very clear. As we go into this year, I want you to know the Lord is at work. On Wednesday night, we gave out hot dogs. On Monday, we gave out hot dogs and popcorn and lemonade. I'm supposed not to forget the lemonade. I forgot to say that, and I was told it was very good lemonade. We handed out on Monday. And then we came back on Wednesday, and I want you to just picture the Lord in this. On Wednesday night, we came back because we didn't get rid of all the hot dogs on Monday, and I can keep them. So I said, let's do it on Wednesday when Sarah over here, King of Love, was having their street carnival. And unbeknownst to me, New Life was meeting in our church building, having their meet and greet in the back. So you had us out there on the sidewalk handing out popcorn and hot dogs and lemonade. And you had New Life in here in the back room having their meet and greet. And you had the street carnival over here. And I just thought to myself, is not the Lord pleased with this? Three ministries serving together on campus to reach out to students and to share God's love. And I want to tell you something. I left here. It was in the morning of Thursday by the time I left. But when I left here, I want to tell you, I was on the clouds because the New Life leader, Eric, came to us and said, someone received Christ as their Lord and Savior on Wednesday night here. Now, that made all of the hot dog preparation, mostly just getting the grill out to the street, and all the other stuff worth it, right? Right, David? Angela? Yeah? Well, doesn't that make it worth it? All of heaven rejoices when this happens. This is awesome. Praise be to God. And so I just want you to know, words have power. There are many times I thought to myself, why are we doing this? We're running into each other here. You know, here we're trying to do one thing, and they're trying to do another thing, and they're trying to do another. Like, Lord, what are you doing? This is all messed up. Wasn't fit my organizational standards, okay? But, you know, he had a plan. We're his church. We're his people, right? Does he not have a plan? Words have power. We could have destroyed it by saying to people, well, you know, I mean, it was so cool. Our students were saying to people, if you're looking for New Life, it's in the back. If you're looking for the carnival, it's over there. Sarah came over here and got some food. She thanked us for the hot dogs because she was dying. I mean, you know, we could have easily put each other down, but yet because we worked together, God was glorified. Isn't that awesome? Words have power. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I know, because they ran out of food. That's an every year experience, but whatever. It's cool though, right? Isn't that awesome? Praise be to God. He says from flame to fire. You see the flame starting up there and kind of growing and then an inferno? Little things that are words spoken without context, spoken and disseminated, are like a little flame or a spark that can cause a huge inferno. Words have power. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is directly from the pit. I'll tell you this. So I have an X over, even though you can't hardly see it. That is wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Yes. Exactly. Wrong? Not true. Words can hurt. How many of you have been hurt by words? Words can hurt us. They have power. Satan uses words because God uses words. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He's talking about the power of words, the power of the tongue. Proverbs 15, verse 4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life that perseveres, but perverseness, in it breaks the spirit. And here's a definition. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Tongue is a metonymy. I had to say this like 15 times to get it right. Obviously, a literal fleshly tongue cannot crush the human spirit, but the words that tongues produce can. What that word that I have trouble saying, metonymy, it is a word that means it's similar. For example, you often hear people say, the White House has said. Well, the White House doesn't speak. The people in the White House speak, but the White House doesn't speak. It's referring, even when it's talking about the tongue, it's talking about words. Matthew 12, verse 33 says this, tree good and its fruit good. It's been a long week. It's all good. That's why God gave me a prayer language, because sometimes I don't know what I'm saying. Or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The tongue reveals what is in our heart. It's our spirituality. It even affects us physically. Words create actions. How many of us know that someone's in trouble because they tell us? How many of us have prayed for people because we heard, because of a word, that they needed prayer? Words create actions. Proverbs 12, 18, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. There's emotional health and social health when words are spoke in love. when there's love behind them, when we recognize the power that they have to bring healing, when we tell people we are children of God. He's created us. We're amazing. And God has made us the way we are. God has chosen us. We are His. That doesn't mean we're not called to change and to grow and to confess our sins and receive forgiveness and all that stuff. But we are precious to our God. He died for us and rose again for us. So the question is, what are we going to do with our words? Are we going to use them for destruction or for healing? It's up to you. You can go from here and you can pick on the few things that I said wrong, because if you're trying to cover everything, you say things wrong. Sometimes I miss words. Sometimes I say things. But you can go there. You can say, well, Pastor Schindel, he had this really weird sermon and he said this, you know. That's why I'd never want to be in politics, because that's what they pick on, is the few words you said wrong. You speak 20,000 words and you say one word wrong, and what do they get? What gets in the news? The 20,000 right words or the one wrong one? Hebrews 11, verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That is why speaking the truth in love and following Matthew 18 is so important. What Matthew 18 says is, if you got a problem with someone, if you hear something, go to them. Talk to them. I'm so tired of, and I'm thankful that in our church we put this as a high value, but I am tired of Christians who gossip. I'm just tired of them. Because I have, you know how bad it is when you're in a small place, believe it or not, Ann Arbor is a small place. Ypsilanti is even smaller. And when I hear things years later that I supposedly said years ago that comes through the grapevine, it's shocking. It's shocking. I still hear about things I said, like one I just heard not too long ago, something I supposedly said 8 years ago. I've been in the United States for 10 years. 8 years ago, supposedly I said this. I know what I said, and that wasn't what I said. And anyways, but it came around. And I'm thinking to myself, say what? Anyways, Matthew 18 is important. You should be coming. If you hear something about me, you should be coming and talking to me. If I hear something about you, I should be coming and talking to you. Doesn't work very good if all you do is listen to the gossip. And believe me, in the church there is. I know. Yeah, and you stamp on them and they still get up. Yeah. Experience those. Psalm 34, verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. If there is one thing I can encourage you to live this year with, is these words. Can you remember these words? Remember, Psalm 34, verse 13. Let's say it together. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Say it again. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. That's an amazing thing. If we could do that, would that not create a huge difference? Words have power. Would that not create a huge difference in the church and in our communities, in our families, and so on? Yes. So what? The final thing, because I got to end here. St. Paul shares with us, as did Jesus, that we should use our tongues for blessings, as St. James says, for blessings, praises, hymns. Some of the words that St. Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 29, he said, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. Colossians 4, 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And then finally, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Singing psalms. We just learned a psalm, right? What psalm did we learn? Psalm 34. Yes. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Paul's expectations for us in Christ, they should be the expectations we live with this year. May we be a people who recognize the power of words. And may we use our words, our tongue, for the glory of God. May we not do the things that Satan likes to cause the fire. And not the good fire, but the destructive one. May we be a people whose tongues are used for healing rather than for destruction. For encouragement and accountability rather than for destruction. Amen? Are we good with that? Make sense? Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for each and every one here. Thank you, Lord, that you have made us all so amazing, Lord. And Lord, you do tell us not to desire to be a teacher because you will be judged harshly. And Lord, I take that very seriously. It keeps me up at nights. Because Lord, I want to make sure that everything we say and everything we do is according to Scripture. And that leads us, Lord, to speak into people's lives things they don't want to hear, to hold people accountable and people don't want to be held accountable, to say things that are true, yet are received out of, I don't know, maybe a defensiveness, or I don't know, but are received in a way that's not welcoming and that does not produce good fruit. So Lord, we just pray that you would lead us, that we would hear you, that we would speak your words in love, and Lord, that we would follow Matthew 18, that we would speak to one another and we would share with one another. Lord, you are so amazing. You've designed all this. If we just simply follow your design, we will see amazing things happen in the midst of your people. Thank you, Lord, for that young lady who received Jesus, who received you as her Lord and Savior on Wednesday night. Lord, thank you that all heaven rejoices. And Lord, may we, through our lunches, through pancakes, through Life Tree, through the Bible studies, men's group, ladies groups, Lord, may we find ways to reach into each other's lives and encourage one another to see healing and to see encouragement so that we can be the priesthood of all believers, your children, kingdom people, walking in your power with your promise, knowing that you are amazing, that we would be like that father who brought his child in the gospel lesson today and say, Lord, forgive my unbelief. Let me believe, because with you, all things are possible. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.